year that made me.
The year that made me. The year that made me.
She's one of Australia's loudest, boldest and tallest performers. In 1980, her big break came when she was cast in the musical They're Playing Our Song with Jackie Weaver and John Waters. Over the last four decades, she's been charming audiences around Australia and the world. She's an award-winning singer, actress, recording artist, dancer, author. And along the way, she's picked up an Order of Australia medal for her service to the performing arts and community. My guest on The Year That Made Me is cabaret icon Rhonda Birchmore. Welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gosh, Rhonda, I'm exhausted from that introduction already.
Me too.
When did you know that you wanted to be a performer? Was there a particular moment in your life when you decided, yes, the stage lights was where you were most comfortable?
Well, it is crazy because if you Google when it says I was two when I began performing, yeah. And that is absolutely true.
Really?
I was the height of most 5-year-olds, and my older sister Michelle used to go to dance class, and I used to sit and watch up the back. Well, probably not sit, but imitate my sister's steps, and then the dance teacher decided with Mum to take me into the class, even though I was a lot younger than the 5-year-olds, and put me in the Christmas kind of concert, and I was dressed up as a little jockey, which was pretty funny because even then I was the height of most jockeys now. And I just remember getting on the stage with the lights and the roar of the crowd and just never wanting to leave. And it's this buzz that I still get all these years later. I think it is in your blood, I believe.
Now, you said, as you just mentioned there, your sister Michelle, also a dancer, was in show business. In fact, she led the way for you into the industry, and you say she'd always been your biggest fan. Was there ever any sibling rivalry?
You know, it's a crazy thing. Michelle was the most beautiful, perfect dancer, blonde hair, blue-eyed, perfect body. I was like this ostrich to her, you know, because I was very, like 6 foot, and she was like 5'7", perfect. And I used to just go, oh my goodness, I wish I could be like that. She kind of paved the way because she was in the J.C. Williamson shows, and I first saw her professionally in a show with the likes of Nancy Hayes, Julie Anthony, in a show called Irene at Her Majesty's Theatre. And I just knew, I thought, oh my goodness, look at the costume, look at the lighting, look at the orchestra. For me, that consolidated totally what I wanted to do. And to see my big sister up there, I just knew, at 14 that was no other way.
Yeah. So tell us about your major break in 1980. Describe for us that moment when you found out you would be cast alongside John Waters, Jackie Weaver in They're Playing Our Song. What, you were 19 years old then?
Yes, I would have just graduated from, I was to be a school teacher, and I went through very young, and I took myself to the audition. I'd known of John, I'd known of Jackie, of course, and to work with such amazing mentors, I look back now and say, how lucky was I to have two incredible people like that to look up to watch, to learn. And the big break for me in a show was one called Sugar Babies, which I would be cast as a leading lady after that. But that was certainly dipping my toe in big time.
Now, you are 6 feet tall. Many women would kill to have your legs and your height. Did you ever find it a hindrance, though, being cast in roles?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
There was, back there at 14, 15, I was like this ostrich kind of, and I felt very uncomfortable.
So you were conscious of how tall you were and your body.
Oh my goodness. Mm. And I went to, I remember I was doing ballet, the Royal Academy of Dance ballet exam, and I was laughed at by the examiner because he said, who my goodness, Rhonda, would ever pas de deux with you at your height? Oh. And then when I put on toe shoes, I was of course another foot taller. So he had the biggest laugh, but it actually destroyed my confidence. Mm. And I remember getting on Central Station in Sydney and throwing away my ballet shoes because I said to Mum, I never want to dance. I feel like an absolute idiot and a freak. And it wasn't until a show called that Sugar Babies, where the Americans came to Australia and kind of said, my goodness, Rhonda, you're 6 foot, stand proud, wear the highest heels. You're quite unique. And so I took that and I've run with it ever since.
That's fantastic. You have performed on the West End. You've been on Hey Hey It's Saturday. You've been on Kath and Kim. You've recorded albums. You've written an autobiography. It seems there's just nothing you can't do, Rhonda. But having done cabaret, musical theatre, TV and recording studios and writing as well, is there a particular field that you feel the most comfortable?
I think it would be cabaret for the fact that it's flexible. The script is flexible. You can be up close and personal with the people. You can, and you can jump. And I mean, it's all very well doing, you know, a show like I did, you know, for 2 years, like Mamma Mia, where, but everything is like follow the dots. It's so scripted that you can't go off that, of course. But cabaret gives you a freedom to explore and a wonderful platform for storytelling.
You're listening to Sunday Extra on RN. My guest on The Year That Made Me is Rhonda Birchmore, Australian entertainer, singer, actress, author, and all-round amazing woman. Rhonda, I want to get serious a little bit here. With all the revelations of sexual harassment in the entertainment industry, in the US and now in Australia, having been in the entertainment industry for as long as you have, did you ever find yourself in similar compromising situations?
I would have to say yes. You know, I quote Mickey Rooney, for example.
Can you tell us of certain incidences?
Well, Mickey Rooney is, you know, absolute stage legend and an icon, you know, and, you know, to grow up and watch him in all those movies and to get to London to finally work with him. He was a very, very strange. He was in his late 70s, but I was in the situation where it was mental abuse, actually. He used to come into my dressing room half an hour before the show every night and tell me all these extraordinarily gross and graphic things about women that he'd been involved in Hollywood and very much, you know, sexual innuendo to myself.
Was this to put you off your game, or was this to kind of show you who's boss here?
He used to get off on it. And I, as a 26-year-old, I knew it was wrong. I knew, but who do I tell when this whole show is revolving around he and Ann Miller, these huge stars? Here am I, this, you know, little fry from Australia, 26. I just know it went on for 6 months, this continual thing with Mickey, and gross and graphic, and it made me sick. And I used to wait till he wouldn't get out of my dressing room until the 10-minute call. But who could I tell? And I think that's the thing I'm so proud of now, women coming out and having the strength to do that, because back in the day we didn't. And I had an incident with Rolf Harris, you know, in terms of him grabbing my backside and, you know, now I would make a stand. But back then, no way did I. But there you go.
What advice would you give to young women now entering the entertainment industry who might actually be facing similar situations?
I think speak up because these, you know, you look obviously recently the Don Burke stuff. Mm. I mean, Don Burke was the only person that my dog growled at when he came to do Burke's backyard. I mean, there was something, and it's just this awful feeling of, you know, that there's something wrong. Say something to your boss. Say something to have it stop, because it is wrong and it shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Rhonda, you've been in the entertainment industry for about 35 years, and yet you've chosen 2015 as the year that made you. What was happening in your life at that time?
It was probably and possibly, and I never want to revisit it, it was the toughest year of my life. My beautiful sister had been diagnosed with a very strange, unique disease. It's called multiple systems atrophy, which is a motor neurone disease that shuts down everything. It's a bit like Steve Hawking's. Everything was shut down except her brain. She couldn't eat. She couldn't speak. She was a total vegetable. And to see my beautiful sister, who was my soulmate, and, you know, you feel helpless as her nearest and dearest, not to be able to do something to possibly help. That no medicines, no nothing, because, you know, if you Google that, it says from onset to death, maximum 6 years, no cure.
And so you just had to watch.
You just wonder when it's going to be the last time, you know, you see her and to say goodbye. And, it was, devastating.
What was it about that made you think?
For me, it kind of puts everything in perspective a lot. You know, I don't want to sound corny, but just living every day and making the most of, family, the people that you love and be with. My daughter, Lexi, was my sunshine through that. I'd fly up regularly to see her from Melbourne because she was in Sydney, and I'd just get on the plane and, you know, bawl my eyes out. And the only thing that I think got me through was to see my gorgeous daughter at the other end going, "Mummy, it's going to be all right," you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a year of absolute, you know, devastation, change, and kind of prioritizing, I think.
And Rhonda, you've chosen Katy Perry's Roar as your song. Now, there are these lines in this particular song that go, "I got the eye of the tiger, a fighter dancing through the fire, because I am the champion and you're going to hear me roar." That's just you in a nutshell, isn't it?
It's a bit like Diana from the Ashes, I think. I've been knocked down quite a few times, and I think just the sheer thing to survive in this industry, you know, you need to kind of pick yourself up type of thing. And especially that song, when I knew of my sister's terminal condition, to actually perform on the other side of that, just to be strong through that, that song was very relevant.
Rhonda, you've been an absolute delight to talk to. Thank you so much for talking to me on Sunday Extra.
You are a delight yourself. I hope I get to meet you and give you a cuddle one day.
We certainly will.
Thank you.
Rhonda Birchmore, entertainer extraordinaire on The Year That Made Me. And this is Rhonda's song choice, Katy Perry's Roar.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up. Oh.
There's quite a bit of dancing and female bonding happening here in the studio right now. That's Raw by Katy Perry, the song chosen by cabaret icon Rhonda Birchmore, my guest on The Year That Made Me. And that's a song that's going to be in my head for the rest of the day, I think.